sun is shining. It's a gorgeous day. I'm wearing too warm a sweater, but we've already established that I have no judgment. But here's a woman who's dressed appropriately for the weather, and that is Burgundy Ramsey, and she's with Arts Quincy. And we're going to talk about the Arts Beat. That's what our segment's called. Isn't that cute?
It's so fun.
Burgundy came up with that. Lots of activities going on the week of May 5th through the 11th, so let's get right to it. What could be better to start off with than theater, live theater?
Yes, Quincy Senior High School is presenting their spring play. It's going to be Rumors this year, which is by Neil Simon. You probably know him from The Odd Couple and some shows like that. Rumors has a very fond place in my heart because I made my stage debut at Pittsfield High School in Rumors as police officer number two. So I know. So it's
maybe
a good
someday
show.
You'll get to be police officer number one.
I know, exactly. I'm still fingers crossed for that. But it's a really funny show, good show, and I'm sure the kids over the senior high are going to have a lot of fun with it. So
that is great. Well, whoever's playing police officer number two, pump up your jam.
You have big shoes to fill, let me tell you. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun, though, and that's going to be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30. Tickets are $10 for adults, $7 for students. You can get more information by calling the QHS Music Office at 224-3774.
Yeah, for the seniors in the play, this will be their last hurrah.
Yes.
So get out and laugh, because Neil Simon is funny.
Oh, it's a funny one.
Neil Simon is hysterical. So that's this weekend, Frisat Sun, as they say. No sun, just Frisat.
No, Thursday.
Thursday Frisat.
There you go.
There we go. We'll get it right. So that's at Quincy High School, Rumors by Neil Simon.
Yeah. Also on Saturday, the Quincy Area Youth Chorus is holding auditions. This round of auditions, the kids will get to play in the Christmas Spectacular in December, so that's exciting. Singers grades 3 through 12 are invited to audition. You know, it's just a rare opportunity for any singer to be able to sing with like a 70-piece orchestra, but especially a student singer like this. So it's a great opportunity if your kid is interested in music to kind of hone their skill a little bit more outside of the classroom.
This is kind of like, you know, being on the track team or something. I mean, if your kid is really interested in music, they don't even have to be good yet because they'll really coach them and make them wonderful. But if they have a singing voice that they want to develop, or if they like to sing around the house, get them involved in the youth chorus. Again, the auditions are Saturday, 3 p.m. at Christ Lutheran Church, 333 South 36th Street. You probably should call ahead just to make sure what they want you to do.
Yeah.
You'll have to come prepared to sing, obviously, your child would. That's 222-2856, or just go to qsoa.org, qsoa.org. But my goddaughter was in this, and it was a wonderful, enriching experience for her. She was very gifted musically, and this was just another way for her to really, you know, promote that talent.
Exactly, and it's a fairly low commitment. I think they only rehearse like once a week or something, so don't let time be a factor in stopping if you're concerned about that.
I think they do like a Christmas show and maybe a late spring show.
Yeah,
and so, you know,
absolutely.
But mostly it's just the wonder of learning more about music.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people take, you know, private violins lessons. So these are voice. This is for your voice. So this is great. Okay. Quincy University, they're getting ready to graduate. They're getting ready to send everybody out.
They are.
And
they are. Good luck. And like a lot of universities with their senior art students, they do a senior show. QU is doing their baccalaureate exhibition. This actually opened back in April, but will continue through May 15th. So we have about another week here. And this is a chance for, you know, the senior art students to really showcase 4 years of hard work here. They show their whole portfolio, and they are responsible for putting this show together, like, start to finish. They get things up, they develop the catalog, you know, all the publicity for it, etc. So get out to Gray Gallery and see that. It's a completely free exhibit, and it'll be there until May 15th.
Okay, so you only have until May 15th. And it's at the Gray Gallery at Quincy University, open any time that the library is open, which for now should be 24 hours. Are they in finals week?
They are.
Yeah.
Okay. I am in finals week. Is in my master's program there.
Are you really?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot happening this week.
Are you going to make it?
I'm good.
You're good? You're sure?
For now, yeah. I'm
no
running.
Sneaky F coming up?
No, I'm running completely on coffee at this point, but we're good. So.
Okay. Well, Burgundy has to leave and go study now.
Yes.
So the next time I see you, you'll be a master?
No, I have a year left.
Oh,
so
I was going to call you master. Ramsey.
That I think after I get that, though, that's the only thing I'm going to answer to is master.
Her sister has a doc. You know, everybody in the right. family's got a doctorate. She's the only one that's not a doctor.
Right.
So she makes us call her Master Forget. Because we have to doctor this.
Yeah,
she goes, I'm Master Forget.
Yeah,
She's the only one in education. Everybody else
there
is.
You
in okay. Burgundy, good luck.
Thank you.
Don't let us down now.
We'll count on you to be
the top of your class. I just want you to get your master's degree. I want you to exceed all expectations ever put on any human being, okay?
I'm working on it.
Okay, thank you. Burgundy Ramsey. When we come back, we're going to be talking about grass-fed beef. Is there any other kind? Yes. Sometimes they feed them corn and all kinds of stuff. But grass-fed beef, that's what we're talking about in just a moment. The Grassland Market is now open in Canton, Missouri. They have a retail store there right off Route P, and they're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And Aaron Naki, the manager of the market, joins me today, and I am sitting in front of, if you could see this radio audience, I am sitting in front of a plethora of products that are all grass-fed. I've got lamb, bacon, buffalo. I've got, I'm sure, a cow or two in there somewhere. It's just great. And so first and foremost, let's meet Aaron Naki. Aaron, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're the manager of this store. What's your background? Tell us about it.
I grew up on a farm in Canton, went to Mizzou and then came back. And John Wood hired me to start this store up. U.S. Wellness Meats has been, you know, in existence since 2000. Now we're adding this retail side of the store so the public can come in. You don't have to buy online. You can come right in the store, pick out the steak, the bacon, the seafood.
Lamb. My favorite. Well, okay. See, I'm learning something already. Because people say, oh, Mary, how, you always know. No, I don't. I have no idea. I mean, I'm glad you're here because... You're telling me that this is an outreach program of John Wood Community College? No. Oh, John Wood, the man John Wood. Yes. See, this is where I get confused. So a man who raises grass-fed beef called John Wood. Very good. For a minute there, I got a little bit confused. So you're the store manager for a consortium of farmers locally who have chosen a grass-fed way of feeding off their livestock.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, great. See, that name John Wood, isn't that interesting?
It confuses people.
He's not related to the man who founded Quincy. He's not part of John Wood Community College. His name is John Wood, and he's a farmer in the Canton area. And I've met him, so I don't know why I got confused. So let's talk about this. You get your meat then kind of from a very, from a variety of farmers, but they're all kind of controlled. You choose what quality you want in the Grassland Market.
Correct. So all of the meat, all of this can be bought online as well through U.S. Wellness Meats. The Grassland Market's the retail side of that. But all of the meat has gone through, you know, it's USDA inspected, comes in, we package it, and then have it for sale. The lamb, the bison, and the beef are all grass-fed, grass-finished, which is different than what some of the stuff you would get in your conventional grocery store. We've also got seafood and pork. We've got poultry. We've got turkey. Okay. We've got a variety of things. So a lot of people hear Grassland beef, and all they think of, that's all you have is beef.
That's all you have.
We have a lot more.
Okay. So. Well, let's talk about, you mentioned the grazing animals like the sheep, the cow, the bison, that are fed on grass only. For those who may not be familiar how most of those kind of animals are finished, what do most animals, when I go just to the regular grocery store and I buy a beef, what mostly has that cow been eating before it came to be my friend at the grocery store?
It's majority of its life, just like our grass-fed, grass-finished, is raised on pasture, like grass and during the winter, the hay throughout the winter months. Though the conventional way, they are grain-finished. So they'll put in a feedlot and finished on corn, corn byproducts.
And why is that less healthy than a grass finished animal from that only eats grass from the moment it starts eating to the moment it stops eating? Why is grass better?
Grass is better because it's higher in omega-3s. So okay. As cows eat corn and are finished on corn, they start losing their level of omega-3s.
Okay.
So grass-fed, grass-finished has higher omega-3s, has it's a leaner beef, a healthier beef. Mm-hmm. So it just does more for you whenever you cook it and eat it.
You know, because I know very little about farming except what I've learned from my farming friends. So you're going to really educate me today too, Aaron Naki. When you finish off with corn, what I understand is you're kind of trying to put weight on the animal. You know, you're trying to get that carcass weight up there. And let's face it, if you're just finishing them for a short period of time, you're kind of, quote, literally fattening them up. And some people don't want that. They don't want that big ring of fat. They want a leaner product. And that's where the grass fed always comes in. It's just, it's naturally a leaner product. You won't see that level of that big fat ring, which a lot of people don't want anyway.
Right. And you won't see that amount of fat, but there is still fat in grass-fed beef.
Sure.
As you can see on this one, you still have that. You still have some of the marbling that you get that provides that flavor, just not that higher level.
Okay. Now, I know that that's great for beef and bison. I love that you have bison and lamb. But what about, you know, like when you're buying, you know, the pork and the seafood or the chicken, those things don't eat grass. So what are they fed that makes them more healthy when it comes to like chickens, and are they more free range or is it just what they're fed?
So our pork is a GMO free pork, which means they aren't fed the GMO corn. And then also whenever it's processed, like the bacon I have here, it's sugar free. So they don't add any sugars whenever we process it or package it. We don't add anything to keep it. The chicken that we have,
it's still got fat. I mean, obviously,
yes.
This is a corn-fed product,
yes.
But it's non-GMO corn.
Correct.
So again, on your pork, if you want bacon, you're basically buying fat. I mean, that's what bacon is.
Yes.
It's fat. So you're not buying a fat-free product just because it doesn't have GMO corn in it. You still have healthy corn in it.
Yes.
And, yeah, that got fat.
Yeah.
That looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah, count me in on that. So it's just a choice. Some people are making this choice that they want these products, and this is now a retail store where they can get them very readily.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you feed your chickens?
They're fed a ration of corn, but they're free range, so they're let out during the day, obviously for predators and everything. You know, they're brought in during the night. They're raised antibiotic free and hormone free from birth, and so a lot of people, you know, like looking at that, like seeing that. And then also we don't add any additional salt or anything whenever we package it. So
okay.
A lot of people that are looking for lower salt in their diet, we don't add any additional. So it's more of a naturally lower sodium levels.
And then the eggs obviously are a product of those chickens too that are...
Yeah, and those are free range, all natural. We've got jumbo and larges in the store right now. They're selling like hotcakes.
Oh, there's nothing like them. We have a source, but those darn chickens sometimes don't lay. They go on vacation. And I tell you what, when you have to go back to the grocery store and buy an egg, it's like, no more good omelets, you know. But, I mean, so it's really, we're trying to just let people know this exists, because once you have this, this may be a choice you want to permanently make. And you can, the amazing thing about it is you can get rabbit, duck, eggs, chicken, seafood that's wild caught, pork, lamb, bison, beef. All these foods are, in their opinion, healthier because of the way they're raised. You also have some dry goods. Again, it's the Grassland Market, but it's more than Grassland Meats. It's the name of the market is Grassland, but some of the stuff obviously is not grass-fed because they don't eat grass, you know. So let's talk about, you've got raw honey, and what in the heck? I've heard of it, G-H-E-E.
Ghee.
Ghee. What
so
is ghee?
Ghee is a refined butter. It's an old Indian thing that they did, and they took butter and then they boil it down and refine it. So, some people that are lactose intolerant can actually use ghee. So wherever you would fry something or cook something with butter, you can put ghee on it instead, and it tastes the same. It does the same thing. It's just healthier for you.
It's kind of had the lactose deactivated is what you're saying.
Yeah, so exactly.
If you're lactose intolerant, you can still enjoy the taste and fullness of butter.
Yes.
But it's called ghee.
Ghee.
Okay. I've heard of it before.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm not lactose intolerant. I love my butter. And raw honey, what, as opposed to, I mean, is this honey that just literally you drip from a comb into a jar? What does that mean, raw honey?
Raw honey means it hasn't been heated over 135 degrees. So
they put the comb in the centrifuge, and they get it out of there, and that's it. And they bottle it.
They bottle it.
And it's local.
Yes.
And again, and we're not making any health claims that can't be backed up or supported, but there are people who definitely say that if you eat local honey, you will help your allergy problems because the bees are gathering from around this area. So actually eating bee honey from bees that have fed on what you're allergic to can actually help reduce your allergic reactions.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, yep. Great. Wow. I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of excited. Now you've got your big grand opening coming up. I love your address. How do you even say that? 18685 316th Avenue, Canton, Missouri. Where the heck is that?
It's just right off of Highway 61.
Take the Route P exit?
Take the Route P exit.
Turn west.
Yes.
And don't go to Culver Stockton. Go the other way.
Go the other way. And we're literally right there. A big blue and tan building. Can't miss us. Kind of looks like nothing's going on. Vehicles are parked out front. There's a retail store there. Pull in. We're there 9:30 to 7 weekdays, 10 to 5 weekends. We are open for business.
Sounds great. And do you have a big open house coming up?
We have an open house this Saturday from 11 to 2. We're going to be doing some meat bundle giveaways. I think we're going to give away a grill. We're going to have some free samples. And we're also going to give tours of the facility so people can walk around and figure out what the heck's going on in there.
So it's just like many other grocery stores, but you basically concentrate on these items that these farmers, I won't call them a cooperative. Are they a cooperative? No, they're just individual farmers that have gotten together and said, this is a standard we're going to maintain, and we're all going to maintain this standard so that we can market our meat at this retail store outlet. And when people walk in here, they know everything in here has already passed muster. They don't have to worry. Gee whiz, I wonder if this brand or this brand is better. They're equal. It's just a matter of preference at that point. But are you going to have like others? Is it going to be like a grocery store? Are you going to have bread and milk and a can of lima beans too? Or is it just these natural products?
We have some things expanding. We actually have organic milk right now. And we've got some wellness bakeries, mixes, Miracle Mix, bread mixes, some cookie mixes. They're all gluten-free. They're all natural. Mm-hmm. We partnered with that company. So we do have those options as well.
And barbecue sauce, which you've got to have if you're going to be buying.
Yes.
Where have I missed the buffalo roaming around? Where are these buffalo living? There used to be a buffalo farm south of Hannibal, but I haven't noticed any buffaloes out there anymore.
Our buffalo is actually from South Dakota.
Oh, really?
So it's okay. Free range out there, grass-fed, grass-finished.
So it's brought into the Canton store. It's not something that's...
Correct. Yeah.
I'm like, how did I miss a big old buffalo roaming around in the area? So,
yeah.
But again, you know, out there, obviously that's what buffalo were meant to do. Everything they need to live and survive is out there.
Right.
And so, they don't have to worry about that. So how does grass fed beef differ in taste? I mean, it's leaner. Why do people prefer it? Because there are some people that definitely prefer it, and then there are other people that are so used to the corn-finished beef, they can't make the transition. Is it just they need to try it and redevelop their palate?
I would definitely say everyone needs to try it. Everyone needs to give it a chance. It's cooked a little differently, so you can cook it a little, we say, low and slow. So don't cook it as high a temperature. And then they also say don't cook it over medium. But there is a different taste to it. That's not a bad taste. It's different. And I like to say, don't be afraid of different. Try something new. And what happens if you like it?
Well, you mentioned, I thought, well, this must be incredibly expensive compared to, quote, a regular grocery store. But you're telling me that these animal products have been, you know, kind of specially cared for and gotten a little bit more TLC than the average. The price differential is really not that noticeable for what is considered a pure organic, these kind of products, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's been great, Erin Naki. I have enjoyed, and I'm wanting to grab that ground lamb and just take it home and make it. U.S. Wellness Meats has a retail store now, Grassland Market, and they are open in Canton. Just head up Highway 61 when you get to the Route P exit. Take the West Road, and it's right there. They're having their big open house this Saturday. And I have a little coupon here for $5 off my $30 order. Where can we get this coupon? Is this on your Facebook page? Or
it's on our Facebook page. It was in the newspaper.
Ooh, don't cuss in front of me.
You can print it out, bring it in. We're going to have some special discounts going on this weekend, too, for the open house. So okay. If nothing else, you don't have the coupon, just come on in. We'll still be able to hook you up with some good deals.
Okay, Grassland Market is their Facebook page. You've been delightful.
Thank you.
I've really learned a lot. And I tell you what we put in our body, it's so important. And this stuff just looks great. And she's got all kinds of wonderful things here. There's even that looks like a jar of jam. You got jam too or something. Where's that?
That's the barbecue sauce.
That's the barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that looks good. Everything looks good. Welcome back to Mary Griffith's show. We're running late. What else is new? 9:46 our time. But we're going to talk now with a representative from Blessing Hospital about antibiotic stewardship. This is a way to fight against superbugs. And in a way, I didn't plan it this way, but it almost ties in great with the guest we just had on who talked about raising beef, lamb, pork, chicken without antibiotics in an organic way. So welcome to the program. Andrea, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
I'm going to let you pronounce your last name for our audience.
Shabir.
Shabir. What a beautiful name. Andrea Shabir. Well, let's talk a little bit about this. The Pew Study, this is an independent group, has kind of singled out Blessing Hospital, put them in the spotlight in a great way. And that is because they're being touted as some hospitals are not, but Blessing Hospital is a good steward of its antibiotic use. Can you just explain about superbugs, how we get resistant to antibiotics, and what Blessing Hospital is doing and has been successful in doing with antibiotic resistance?
Absolutely, Mary. I'm so excited to talk about this. So basically, the more we use antibiotics, and everyone is familiar pretty much with the use of antibiotics at some point in our lives, either you or someone you know has had to use an antibiotic for something. And because of that, the more we use antibiotics, the more quickly the bacteria can adapt and become resistant. It's kind of like a survival of the fittest type environment. So what these stewardship programs, or I like to call them appropriate use programs, are designed to do is to just make sure that we're using the antibiotics in the right way, at the right time, and for the right reason, so that they don't develop this resistance, because we only use them for just the right amount of time to kill that bacteria, but not give them the opportunity to become resistant.
Is this where the term MRSA comes from? And I forget what it stands for, but I know it's multiple resistant staphylococci or whatever. I mean, we hear about, you know, these things that people catch. And is this what we're fighting, or is that just one of the many things we're fighting?
It's just one of the many things that we're fighting. Essentially, drug-resistant bacteria is really a public health concern, and we're facing a situation where the antibiotics that we have are no longer going to be effective, and the antibiotics that are in the pipeline for being developed is really very slow. And so we're going to be left with nothing, and there have been instances. I think the Centers for Control and Prevention has estimated approximately 23,000 deaths have occurred from these superbugs because we didn't have anything to treat them with. So if you think about that for a moment, if a loved one presents with an infection to the hospital and you're told, well, we don't have any type of antibiotic to treat this particular bug because it's so resistant. So they're just like MRSA, or they're a whole host of very resistant bacteria that maybe the only thing we have to treat them with, if we have something in some cases, is a pretty toxic agent, a very old antibiotic that we don't use anymore because it can be very harmful. And we don't want to get to that point. So that's why we have these programs, so that we only use what we need to use. So it's really about conservation and preserving things like penicillin and using it in the right way so that we can use it still in 50 years when we need it.
Yeah, you know, this stuff is really pretty new. I mean, it wasn't available. These types of drugs weren't available during the Civil War, for example, until somebody figured out there was something microscopic called a germ, and penicillin, which was an accident, could make it go away. And so it's really only been, you know, in the last, you know, 100 years that we've had the chance to fight these things. Before then, people died of, oh my gosh, they died all the time of just, you know, infections that now are easily cured. But if we're not careful, we could go back to those days if we become resistant to every antibiotic that's on. One question I have to play devil's advocate, because I really, you know, I don't have a science degree, so, but now we have all these hand sanitizing stations everywhere. We've got them at the grocery store. We've got them at schools. We see them in the hospital. When the nurse or anyone in your healthcare team comes in, they squirt a couple of things and rub their hands together to sanitize their hands. Great. I don't want somebody touching me with germy hands. But can't the overuse of hand sanitizer lead to resistant bacteria and stuff like that?
Not that, honestly, what we know is that good hand hygiene prevents the spread of disease. So at this point, any emergence of disease or resistant bacteria is what we know is it's slowed by using good hand hygiene. So honestly, hopefully not. But
it's
what
not
we
been
know-
discovered to be yet. In other words, you're saying is there's no scientific proof that what I said.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, mm-hmm. It's not proven that that would cause any kind of buildup. You know, soap and water is still the best. Isn't that funny? We've had soap probably ever since Adam and Eve said, "Ooh, you stink." So somebody invented soap. That's still really the best thing to kind of keep us in general health. But when we do catch something, we want to have these drugs available. And that's why, you know, it's very important. And I applaud Blessing Hospital for being on the cutting edge of this. How did you get informed by the Pew, you know, the Pew Research Group and the Pew Institute that you guys were doing a great job?
Gosh, we were very fortunate in that one of the leaders in infectious diseases actually recognized what we were doing, because we had a presentation about our efforts in the stewardship realm at a conference, and we were very fortunate that we were recommended to be a part of the Pew study, at least to be evaluated as part of it. So what the Pew study did is it highlighted really 10 different programs from, you know, all walks of life, if you will. So different geographic areas, different types of inpatient institutions, so from a long-term care setting to an inpatient acute care hospital like what we have, from a community setting to a big teaching hospital. So across the whole continuum of healthcare, how do all of these different types of settings, how do they become successful in their stewardship efforts or at preserving antibiotics? And what have they done to get there? And so we were very lucky in that we were able to have a voice with Pew, and our efforts were recognized.
You know, this is also a problem, and I'm going to move it away from Blessing Hospital now, but you have Physician Services, we have Quincy Medical Group, we have other agencies. You know, people go in and they've got a sore throat and they say, "Doc, I need penicillin." Well, first of all, you didn't go to medical school. You don't know what you need. But a lot of times, people want an antibiotic for something that an antibiotic won't kill anyway. It won't kill a virus, right? It'll only kill a bacteria. Or am I wrong about that?
You're correct. And just actually yesterday, the CDC published their study that says up to one-third of all prescriptions for antibiotics are unnecessary. And that's one reason why, you know, antibiotic resistance is a public health concern, is because we think that if we're sick or if we have a cough, as the public, you know, I'm just as guilty myself. Oh, I need an antibiotic. And then you have to take a step back and think, okay, do I really? And am I being a good steward? Am I preserving these antibiotics? Because when I go in, if it's not bacterial, then that antibiotic, I'm only doing harm and not actually curing anything.
And the other thing is they always say, take the full dose. People start feeling better after 5 days and they've got 10 days worth of pills. So they say, well, I'll save those for the next time I don't feel well. The worst thing you can do.
That is the worst thing, which is, you know, one of the big points of programs like this is you have to be a team. So both with the patient, the physician that's prescribing, whether it's an inpatient physician, an outpatient physician, a physician in a nursing home, you know, everybody has to be on the same team with how we're going to use these antibiotics. And that does mean if I'm going to prescribe you an antibiotic, you're going to go get it from the pharmacy. The pharmacist is going to tell you how to use it, and you're going to use it for that exact amount of time and only that amount of time. And it isn't saved for next time, because here's what can happen. And what can happen is it may not work next time. And that's just the bottom line.
I guess it's good that we have professionals. So basically, if I can put this in a layman's nutshell, help me out if I'm doing it right. If I go into Blessing Hospital and I'm ill and I need an antibiotic, you're going to, with your team of doctors and healthcare professionals, you're going to determine which antibiotic I need at what level. There's no use to kill an ant with a sledgehammer. So if I need a sledgehammer, you're going to give it to me. But if a lower dose of a more commonly, you know, used drug will do the trick, you're going to start with that level of care. And that's the most important thing, is not to overdo it when it comes to these medicines, because the best is not always the best if you don't need that level. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. That's okay. A great way to put it.
I got it then. I figured it out.
We want to save what we have. Even, you know, to treat those superbugs, we want them to still be able to treat those superbugs. If it's the latest and greatest, it doesn't mean that it needs to treat something very simple. We want to save it to treat the big things, and we want to use what we know works to treat the small things, because we've preserved what we have. And so that's what we're going to do. If you come into Blessing Hospitals, there's a team of us that would evaluate what you need, at what dose, at what time, for how long, and that's what you would get.
Okay, folks, don't always ask for Supermax. Sometimes just regular is okay. Save Supermax for when you really need it. I have learned a lot today. I thank you very much, Andrea Chabert. Congratulations to Blessing Hospital. Keep up that good work. We all need these drugs, because once we become resistant to this, we are kind of out of luck. And so until you can't always count on them, keep creating something new. Sooner or later, we got to do with what we can. So thank you very much, Andrea. We appreciate your time today.
Sure. Thanks so much, Mary.